Good morning. And welcome to the First Parish Church of Stow and Acton. I am Neil Saunders and I serve as co-chair of the Worship Committee. Coffee Hour follows the service in Fellowship Hall. Exit through the door to my left, follow the hallway to the end, and then follow the crowd into Fellowship Hall. Hope you'll be able to join us. Two guests who are with us this morning, we're very glad you're here. In addition to our website and Facebook page, information about First Parish and about Unitarian Universalism is also available on the church life table in Fellowship Hall. Childcare is available during the service on the lower level of Fellowship Hall, and Usher can assist you in finding the way. Okay, now as is our custom, we all greet our neighbor.
Good morning. Good morning. I'm the Reverend Ken Reeves. It's good to be with you. May peace be in your hearts. Through the energy of freedom and the warmth of love, may you live the fullness of being alive, and in that fullness find peace. Through justice and understanding, may humanity be at peace, and may all of life on earth live together in balance and peace. Well, it's good to be with you all this morning. I'm grateful for everybody who shoveled and plowed and made the way clear. Also thank Tracy for inviting me here this morning. I want to extend my welcome to anyone who might be visiting here for the first time, like me. I think it takes some courage to enter the doors of an unfamiliar congregation, and so I extend my welcome and applaud your courage. And if I were to introduce this congregation to any visitors we might have this morning, I would guess that like other Unitarian Universalist congregations, this is a support community for people on various journeys towards ultimate goals, such as truth or union or peace. And one of the ways we support each other is by affirming that everyone can have or has a spiritual life, including you, including me. Sometimes the amazing grace, you know, that saved a wretch like me can apply. And this attitude stems back to our universalist tradition, which held that because of Jesus' life, death, and rebirth, everyone is saved, and everyone goes to heaven. These days, we talk less of the afterlife, but I think this attitude that everyone receives from the Spirit still speaks to us. And that's what today's service is about. It's a kind of a contemporary echo of this universalist tradition that the Spirit comes to everyone. And I offer this out of my caring for you and wishing to support you in your spiritual lives. I hope that as you live your spiritual lives, you find love and freedom and live the full richness of being alive. The service today invites the Spirit, if you would, and this first hymn echoes that invitation. And it's gathered here. Mike?
Good morning, everyone. So we'll sing this hymn in unison, and we'll also sing it then in canon, because I know we have some strong musical voices here this morning. So our choir is going to spread out among the church, and they'll help lead your section. The pews all the way against the wall will be section one. Section 2 right there, section 3 here, and section 4. Just follow along and sing. We'll sing it once in unison and then once in canon. I will point at you when it's time to sing. All in unison together. Here we go. Oh, yeah, please rise in body or spirit. Thank you. Together.
Gathered here in the mystery of the hour, gathered here in one strong body, gathered here in the struggle and the power,
Group one starts. Group three. Group four. Please remain standing for our covenant and affirmation. Love is the spirit of this church, and service its law. This is our great covenant, to dwell together in peace, to seek the truth in love, and to help one another. Please be seated.
Good morning. So Ken, at the beginning of the service, spoke about that this is a place where you can find a sense of spirituality. And when I was talking to him via email, he gave me a quote from his sermon that you'll hear later about the sense, at least what I took from it, is how everything is connected, and sometimes that can give you a spiritual experience. So I thought about what that meant for me and how I could share that message with you all. And I have this book that I've been dying to share because I just think it is a gorgeous tale called The Goodbye Walk. And it's about this little girl who's leaving her vacation and all the memories that she will take with her of nature and her experiences with nature and a couple of experiences with other people that she met. But for me, it resonated because many times for some of us, not for all, but we find a sense of spiritual fulfillment in nature, and we try to hold on to that sense when we leave that space that fills us. So this book is just a reflection that resonated with me, and I'm hoping as I'm reading it that you'll either connect with this or think about places that fill you spiritually. And it's called The Goodbye Walk by Joanne Ryder. It takes time to get to know a special place, time to explore new paths and see new things, and then one day it's time to say goodbye. Along your way are landmarks you remember, the row of tall pines pointing to the sky, the shady wall of ferns, an old sign that leans towards the sea. You smile and watch your landmarks passing by as you walk past them one more time. You are busy on a goodbye walk, looking here and there, gathering memories as you go. You see things as they are today, and also as they were on other days when summer was long and new. Then a flag-tailed dog ran up the hill, leaping high to greet you. 1,000 berries tinged the bushes black, and you stop to eat them, sun-warmed and sweet. Today, someone may wave, glad to see you. You pause to say goodbye, to play a game, to run together one last time through grass grown thick and tall. On a goodbye walk, you can stop as you please, on the bridge where young fish hide below, waiting for you and your bread. On the hill, where the eagles soar above you like dark kites without strings. On the pebbly beach where a cool wind catches you at last. You wrap yourself up and feel summer blowing away. On a goodbye walk, you may even see something new, someone you have never seen before. You can bend down and greet a sea star glowing brightly in a rocky pool, a bold crab creeping sideways, its claws stretched wide to fight your shadow dancing on the water. gaze out and greet a tall bird standing still, hunting for fish an island away. Meeting someone new makes you smile, and you say hello, not goodbye. Somewhere along your path, a secret place you know by heart will call you. Your feet follow footsteps you've made before to a cave snug and dry at the edge of the sea. Water, calm and blue, sparkles and dances, sliding closer to you as the tide rises, touching rocks and sand. This place is good as the first time you saw it, even better. And when it's time to leave, you call goodbye. You wish this spot well and hope you'll return one day to find it just as special as it is today. On the way back, you run down the hill and feel the world tilting beneath you again. You wade through the stream that once tickled your knees and now tickles your ankles as you splash a cool fish in the sun. You pick the last berries, tasting them and this day as sweet as all the rest. At the end of a goodbye walk, your arms may be empty, but you are full of things to take with you, feelings and sights tucked deep inside you, memories to keep forever and ever. And I continue to just say that I think that those memories sometimes can really bring you back to that place of spiritual fulfillment, of feeling like you are one, connected with everything. For me, walking in the woods brings me those memories, and going back to the beach that we visited, my family and I, every summer, Hampton Beach in New Hampshire. And there is, to me, such a spiritual feeling when I go back there, even as an adult. Not very often, but when I do, it gives me that feeling. So we only have a couple of kids here. I'm not sure if they all want to go to RE, but I'll see if they do. And then, if so, we'll carry the lantern to our class.
What do you think? This month, we share our offering with diverse and revolutionary Unitarian Universalist Multicultural Ministries. That's DRUM, an organization offering community support and resources to UUs of color around the country. There's information about DRUM in your order of service. With thanks, this morning's offering will be received.
Thanks. Thank you, choir. Thank you, Mike.
In ancient Israel, the prophets would lament and decry Israel's allegiance to false gods or idols, things about which people can obsess, but which not only fail to save, but result in actual harm. Today, a prophet in America might lament and decry America's allegiance to idols such as greed or guns. This week, guns. There are 101 guns per 100 people in America, and they are an idolized virus killing the host. And yet people cling to them as if they bring salvation. It does not have to be this way. In Australia in 1996, after a mass shooting, that government banned automatic and semi-automatic guns and required registration of all guns. And since then, there have been no mass shootings in Australia. Dear God, ineffable Spirit, it is difficult to relinquish idols and look to you for salvation. You are intangible, yet people grasp something tangible. Support us as we relinquish these tangible idols. You meet us where we trust, but people do not always trust. Support us as we open and receive. You are a spirit of love, but people sometimes hate. Support us in all our loving acts, including those that restrain the power of hate. Amen. Well, today's service discusses the spiritual experience, and I have five readings on the spiritual experience and readers to help read them. The first is a reading of describing the spiritual experience by Ralph Waldo Emerson.
Crossing a bare common at twilight under a clouded sky, without having in any of my thoughts any occurrence of special good fortune, I have enjoyed perfect exhilaration. I am glad to the brink of fear, standing on the bare ground, my head bathed by the blithe air and uplifted into infinite space, all mean egotism vanishes. I become a transparent eyeball. I am nothing. I see all. The currents of universal being circulate through me. I am part or parcel of God.
The spiritual practice is described here by Mary Oliver.
Let the immeasurable come. Let the unknowable touch the buckle of my spine. Let the wind turn in the trees and the mystery hidden in the dirt swing through the air.
Another about the spiritual practice from Zen Buddhism.
Try not to try. Quit trying not to try. Quit quitting.
I think spirituality or the spirit and the will or the volitional part of our lives relate in a yin-yang kind of way. And the readings thus far have been more about the spiritual side of that balance. This reading is more about the will and willful side of that balance by William Ernst Henley.
Out of the night that covers me, black as the pit from pole to pole, I thank whatever gods may be for my unconquerable soul. In the fell clutch of circumstance, I have not winced nor cried aloud. Under the bludgeonings of chance, my head is bloody but unbowed. Beyond this place of wrath and tears looms but the horror of the shade. And yet the menace of the years finds and shall find me, unafraid. It matters not how straight the gate, how charged with punishments the scroll. I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul.
And the gifts we receive from spiritual sources are described by Rebecca Parker.
There is a love holding me. There is a love holding you. There is a love holding all. I rest in this love.
And I'd like to sing together another hymn that invites spiritual experience or is grateful for spiritual experience, and is hymn number 21, For the Beauty of the Earth. Typically, people are aware of all the separate components that compose the world, ourselves being among them. But in a spiritual experience, for a moment, one realizes the union of all that is. This experience of union comes with three intensities. Emerson experienced his with a crescendo. Perfect exhilaration, glad to the brink of fear, currents of universal being circulating. The spirit can also slip in on quiet feet, like a breath barely noticed. This has happened to me many times, maybe you too, such as on an ordinary walk in the woods. For a moment, I pause in awe. This walk, this hillside, had no outstanding beauty, just trees an easy path, and a glimpse of the oneness of everything. If you notice your spiritual experiences, wonderful. If not, they still breathe life into you. Indeed, as a third intensity, the Spirit whispers to us without our awareness. If you do not notice a spiritual experience, you still benefit from its effects. Spirit is our source of life, of love, of energy. If you are alive, loving others, living with energy, you can thank spiritual sources. A spiritual experience can happen in solitude or with people. The theologian Martin Buber spoke of the I-thou experience of union with someone else. In that moment of union, people do not do anything. They don't teach each other, use each other, influence each other, impress each other, earn money from each other, compete with each other. They do nothing except encounter each other. Their beings make contact in a moment of peace and meaning. While conversing or silent, while touching or making eye contact, the Spirit connects us to each other in a moment of union, bringing wonder and awe. For example, my wife tells of a moment in a busy airport, suddenly loving everyone, bustling to their airplanes. And so with Earth's shaking intensity, quiet subtlety, or completely unnoticed, while alone or in contact with someone else, spiritual experience occurs. You do not do anything to create a spiritual experience, making it like sleep. While sleeping, you do nothing, and your body heals, your immune system rallies, your mind files experiences into memories and cleans out amyloids, the brain's trash. It's as if a nighttime janitorial crew organizes the files and shines the floors so you can greet the morning refreshed and clear thinking. We just surrender to sleep, and this gift happens. And so we surrender to spiritual experience and receive its gifts. As a gift, the spiritual experience is like our breath. And in fact, the word spirit derives from the Latin word spiritus, meaning breath. We breathe, usually without noticing, and receive the gift of air, which fills and sustains. And so, too, we receive spirit filling and sustaining us. In Genesis, this theme plays out as God creates the first human out of clay, then breathes the breath of life into this person. And so you and I receive the breath of life. Thank you, God. You can cultivate breathing as you can cultivate spirituality. People cultivate breathing with deep or diaphragmatic breathing, opening and filling their entire lungs, giving the body the oxygen it needs. That need for oxygen met, one relaxes and feels at peace. We can cultivate our spiritual lives similarly by opening to the Spirit. Mary Oliver expresses this openness. Let the immeasurable come. Let the unknowable touch the buckle of my spine. People then practice meditation, prayer, devotional reading, acts of service. They go to church, walk in the woods, gaze at stars, form human relationships, all to open the soul and welcome the Spirit. I think cultivation not only opens us, but also sharpens our attention to spiritual experiences. And with that attention, we can notice them in their subtlety, savor them, and trust that they will happen again. Spiritual practice may involve opening and sharpening the attention, but not controlling. I cannot command a spiritual experience to occur. Or at least I cannot successfully command a spiritual experience to occur. It comes of its own accord. This kind of effortless spiritual practice is expressed in the Zen suggestion. Try not to try. Relax into the spirit. Let it breathe its life into you. So the monk earnestly focuses on not trying, hoping to get it right. The master sees the monk strain at not trying and suggests, quit trying not to try. The monk is confounded. I mean, if the spiritual experience is not under one's control, what do I do? The answer, nothing, is difficult. So the monk tries to quit trying to try. The master sees this and suggests, quit quitting. Let the immeasurable come. Allow for grace. So confounding when one wants the spiritual experience and now. Wanting the spiritual experience reminds me of a friend out walking on a beach one day and hearing the other beach walker calling out, blessings come! My friend thinks, really? So demanding. And the woman, blessings come! And my friend thinks again, well, why not? You go, girl. Demand your blessings. And the woman keeps shouting, blessings come! Wouldn't it be great to insist that blessings come? And they do. Make it now, and lo, Yahweh speaks to you from a burning bush, or a few loaves and fishes feed a multitude. And the woman again, blessings come. And as my friend was musing on the spiritual implications of this woman's cry, out from the dunes runs a yellow lab, tail wagging, and she greets the dog and continues walking content that blessings has returned. And the dog lopes off along the surf. I think the spirit is like that. Not under our control, not coming now, even when we insist, but loving us and wanting to be with us and on its own time, bounding up with blessings. The Spirit's blessings are life, love, and energy that well up from some mysterious source, raw and unformed. In their raw form, these spiritual gifts are like a muddy spot on a hillside where water wells up from the ground. And after welling up, that water is channeled into a stream. So spiritual gifts well up, and then our will directs them into actions. Will and spirit then have a yin-yang relationship. Spirit gives us raw materials. Our will chooses what to do with them. In this yin-yang relationship, for some people, it's all about the spirit or the Lord. The Lord does everything and controls every action. Their personal will goes along for the ride. And it sounds lofty and pious to be so spirit-driven. But I worry when I hear this attitude and want people to own responsibility for their choices. And for others, there is no spirit, and it is all will. And it sounds so mighty to have a powerful will, master of my fate, captain of my soul, and so forth. But I'm concerned about such people and their resolute self-reliance. I realize it is difficult to trust the spirit, it being amorphous and mysterious and not in our control. It is unnerving to relax on the infinite ocean. And will is what we know, control, and easily trust. People then apply their will to learn enough, work hard enough, be perfect enough, do enough good deeds to earn ultimate peace
That application of will can work for a while, but without opening to the Spirit, I'm concerned that people would strain. It would be like running a marathon while breathing through a straw. We can do it. The spiritual experience gives us something, even when we don't open to it, but we start to run on fumes. And indeed, the master of my fate, captain of my soul, poet, first thanks the gods for his unconquerable soul. Behind the great will, the Spirit is giving life, love, and energy that that will can apply. When people do not trust the Spirit but still hunger and yearn, they look to be filled by something finite, which they can control. A behavior, a substance, a job, an idol, as if that would bring salvation. But being finite, an idol does not fill one's soul and may bring harm. Even spiritual practices can become idols. This would happen if on my hillside walk I stop, build a temple, and demand spiritual experiences on that spot every day. Blessings come here and now. You and I would not do that, knowing that that spot in the woods is not the be-all to end-all. It just happened that here, in this one brief moment, peace, like a yellow dog, came bounding up. And so I do not build a temple, but continue my walk, knowing that I can't control the Spirit, but it is around here somewhere, maybe running with flopping ears and a wagging tail to love and bless someone else. And what the Spirit gives us is rich. It breathes aliveness into us. It keeps us going. It loves us with infinite love. Rebecca Parker described this love, a love holding me, a love holding you, a love holding all. We all rest in this love. And what makes the Spirit a rich source is that it is infinite. Its infinitude comes with the Spirit's union. In Spirit, all is one. Or Spirit lives in connections, wholeness, oneness, and not separations and divisions. It links us to all, to each other, to the world. And not being about boundaries, the Spirit has an infinite quality. In life, there need to be boundaries. But in spiritual life, there is union, no boundaries, infinitude. Indeed, the universalist belief that the Spirit loves all is consistent with the unitary quality of the Spirit. A line dividing spiritual winners from losers would break that spiritual union. And so in my walk in the woods or Emerson's Across the Common, peace comes with a sense of oneness with all. Being connected to the trees, the ground, the air, one belongs. And knowing one belongs, one relaxes and feels secure and at peace. This belonging has ethical implications. I mean, if I'm connected to all, what affects others affects me, and so I care about my brothers and sisters and want to support them. And such belonging saves us by guiding ethical action, by quietly sustaining us, by uniting us with all. And when you need it most, when you are lost and alone, when you're almost done and have nothing left, your willpower exhausted, the answers you once had seem wrong, when you do not love but hate, when you grope into the dark night of the soul, lost and in a free fall, When you cry a prayer of yearning, I am lost and alone, Spirit come, blessings come. This longing like a crack in the impervious will through which the Spirit can enter. The Spirit's loving hands then find you and slow your fall. And there you rest, alive and aware. Instead of lost and alone, the Spirit unites you to all and loves you, which saves you. This happened after my father died. I was still a kid, just 17, and felt lost without him. And so I went hiking for a week. And during my hike, I passed through 3 consecutive days of rain. On the first day, I felt annoyed. On the second, depressed. On the third day, I realized that my life had shattered and the clouds poured relentlessly, and I surrendered and let the tears pour with the rain. And the trail beckoned me onward as if saying, this is the place to be lost. There was no mystical moment, yet some intangible support breathed into me with each plodding, muddy step, leaving me eventually at peace. And so we receive from the Spirit. But that is difficult to talk about. These experiences are usually subtle and hard to pin down. I can sort of describe my moment in the woods. Emerson can tell you of his. But words fail to do justice to the mystery. Spiritual experience also defies words by being of a wholly other order. One defining quality of a spiritual experience is that it is ineffable. This is because words form boundaries and definitions. So when I say chair, you think chair and not, I don't know, something else, teacup. But in union and oneness, there are no boundaries and then no words. Furthermore, the conversation can feel awkward. I mean, Emerson's neighbor comes up. Hi, Waldo, how are you doing? Great, Bob. Just the other day, I was a transparent eyeball. Oh, really? Yep, the currents of universal being were circulating through me. I was part or parcel of God. Yeah, nice. The guys are coming over to watch the game. I got to get some chips and salsa. See you later. And yet we use words anyway, hoping to relate something of this valuable mystery. Not being able to define spirit directly, people use metaphors and similes. It is like sleep, like breathing. It is a source, like the welling up of a spring. It is ultimate repose, like floating on the ocean. It gallops up to us like a yellow dog and loves us with boundless love. Its hands catch us when we are lost and falling. But words make spirit into one more finite object and so limit the spirit. Therefore, instead of talking about the spirit, we can talk to the spirit, which is prayer. Dear Spirit, dear Mystery, this morning we have gathered in a church and maybe some of us are hoping something mysterious fills the soul. I pray now and always may you remind us that you are there, breathing life into us. May your reminders invite us to relax and open. So open we may see your love in the light of another's eye. Hear your yes in the quiet of the night. and feel your warmth when we need to belong. As our infinite source, may you fill our souls and give us what we need for our lives and for our world. Amen.
I'd like to conclude with another hymn that invites and appreciates spiritual experience, number 15, The Lone Wild Bird. I want to thank Mike and the choir again. Thank Neil, Sangi, Michelle, and all of us who are participating in the service today. Glad we could be together. We are mysteriously connected. I hope from this union you draw life and love and strength. And let us go in peace. Amen.